How are spiritual leaders best trained? How important is it that they are trained? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on discipling spiritual leaders. My name is John Dibdall, and with me here are Dan Solis, the pastor of College Place Church here, and author of lessons that we've been studying this past quarter on discipling, and Paul Dibdall, professor of theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, it's great to have both of you here. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Appreciate very much your contributions. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, it's very important for us to be disciples of Jesus, and then to go and make others disciples as well. And as we begin to talk about what this means, we pray that your presence will be with us, and your call to be disciples and to share with others will be strong in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The lesson series that we've been studying on discipleship shifts gears in this segment. It moves from describing and talking about reaching specific groups with the Jesus message to talking about how to prepare disciple makers. Jesus knew his time on earth was limited, so he needed to train people to carry on his mission if he wanted the ministry to continue. This lesson talks about choosing and training leaders. Any movement that wants to continue to advance and grow must continually train effective leaders. Dan, this is a switch here. How important is this switch that you've made in the lessons here from talking about the groups of people we're reaching out to talking about training or choosing or finding disciple makers?
Well, I think it's very important. We can use a biological analogy. The fruit bears seed, and that seed provides for the ongoing propagation of the fruit. If there's a dead end at any point there, there's not going to be any more fruit. So it was key that Jesus gathered this group of disciples and then trained them, and they in turn would find others who would continue to spread the gospel.
Okay. Anything, Paul, from the text that we have or from the key words here that you would like to share in particular?
Yeah, the question you asked, how are spiritual leaders best trained? And I guess there's one of the core passages that's in the lesson. It's Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. And this is the story of Jesus who is calling those that will be his followers, his mm-hmm. disciples, his students. And he says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," is the way the older versions read. I will make you, mm-hmm. you'll begin to fish for people instead of just fishing for fish. And in some ways, I think that begins to answer the question you asked, how are spiritual leaders best trained? And it seems to me that the best training comes from following Jesus, from being in relationship with him. That's probably more important than a degree that we might get in spiritual leadership or whatever else it might be.
Some kind of academic training or something, yeah.
Yeah, that relationship with the master is what best equips us to lead others to the master.
Just several weeks ago, I was asked to preach, and as I prepared, one of the things I noticed was to go back and trace the process that Jesus used in training the disciples. It seems to me that there were phases, there were steps that they went through. And I think one of the things that we can learn is it didn't just happen suddenly that this took place. This developed. And I think what you said, Paul, is so right, that it started with a relationship with people, but then when they were with Jesus and when they followed him around, they learned. They didn't even realize for sure that he was the Messiah when they started sharing with other people. But then that happened in the process of being with Jesus. And then he began to tell them about his death and resurrection. And they didn't understand it for a while. So he was training them, but he was training them patiently. And he was training them step by step.
And I'm thankful for that patience. I know that I've often stumbled, but God doesn't leave me there. So God picks me up and gives me another opportunity. And he does that with all of us. I know some people that are afraid to share their faith. They're afraid that someone's going to maybe misunderstand or be turned off, as we say. And yet, God is very patient with us and leads us in this process. We don't have to be concerned. I don't think that we're going to, you know, misrepresent God. If we fail, God is there to help us and to keep us going.
Okay, that's great. One of the things that I noticed from the text here that I think was important was the choosing of the apostles. Paul, you mentioned the call of Jesus to come follow me. Luke says that before he went through that experience of calling those apostles, he prayed all night. And it seems to me to be saying something about how important the decision of who you train is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just automatically happen. So
we see the same thing in the book of Acts when Judas was being replaced. Prayer preceded the replacement of Judas.
Mm-hmm. Prayer preceded casting of lots. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. You pray, and then you do something to allow God to lead some kind of action.
Yeah, they were having trouble. There were two good candidates that had been with them, demonstrated a life of walking with the Spirit. They couldn't decide, and so in the end, they prayed and they said, "Lord, can you show us who it ought to be?" So we don't do a lot of that. I think we usually will take votes. and the majority will win.
We assume that God is blessing the majority.
The majority. But I think probably we should be open to the guidance of the Spirit in all of those attempts at selecting spiritual leaders.
Yeah. We've already talked about earlier the fact that, you know, these men, most of the men that he chose were not, what should we say, powerful, rich,
right,
famous, whatever.
They were more ordinary.
More ordinary, and he saw, he saw characteristics, maybe we should say. He saw character traits. He saw things that he could choose and develop and work with to make things happen.
Ironically, as we look at it historically, we see these men who were ordinary that are still remembered. And think of the people that in their own time were probably popular or well-known and famous who are now long forgotten. But something about connecting with Jesus made these people special. And we remember them today.
Mm-hmm. Right. And being with Jesus is what prepared them for leadership. And you mentioned, Paul, the choice, well, mentioned the procedure of choosing a replacement for the apostles when Judas was gone. And of course, one of the key characteristics is that he had been with us with Jesus mm-hmm. earlier. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask about a degree. Of course, they probably wouldn't have in those days anyway, but that's what they asked for. They asked for personal relationship. That's mm-hmm. what they asked for, a history of a personal relationship. And that's what made a difference in the choices that they made.
Without that relationship, there's really no opportunity to lead people to Christ. You cannot lead people to someone you don't know personally.
Okay. How do you think we can put some of these principles into practice today? The prayer, the spiritual choices, leadership positions in the church, Holy Spirit leading. That's another thing we haven't really mentioned. We talk about the Spirit wanting to lead. How can we put some of these principles into practice today as we think about leaders and plan for leaders? What can we do?
I think some talking about the the biblical idea of spiritual giftedness maybe is a beginning place that we recognize that the Bible suggests that all those who are followers of Christ are called to be of service. The biblical word for that is ministry, to serve, to minister in some way to other people. And we're all different, and the Holy Spirit gifts different people with different abilities. But to encourage people to think of themselves as ministers and not simply to assume, okay, I'm a part of this church, and my job is maybe to come once a week and to give an offering now and then I'll let a professional kind of, you know, do the rest. That we just come to a corporate understanding that we are all part of one body, and we all have gifts that are needed for the healthy functioning of the body, and then gifts also that can be used to reach out to other people. That seems to me to be a beginning place for identifying and encouraging spiritual leaders.
And I think it's important for spiritual leadership that people recognize, especially pastors, they are not called to do all the work that needs to be done. They're called to recognize the gifts that God has given to the group of believers, and then, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to organize that in such a way that it provides an effective ministry to the community where those people live. But if a minister is trying to do all the work by himself, he's going to wear himself out just as Moses did in days of old.
Well, and it's very interesting, of course, that this call that we're talking about that came to the disciples was right at the very beginning of his ministry. Jesus didn't wait to the end and say, oops, let me get ready a few people. He was spending his time, his key time, training those apostles, training those disciples, and it was a very important part of what he was doing. In fact, I don't know, I can't remember the exact figures, and I need to be careful about saying it because I'm not always correct when I quote these figures, but someone has said, I think quite rightly, that Jesus spent more time in training the disciples than he did with the crowds, than preaching to the crowds. It was so important to him that it was a crucial part of what he did. And it was his way of continuing his ministry and reaching out and fulfilling God's will for his life and for the world. And I wonder if we realize that today, if we realize that training the next generation of leaders and training the next generation of disciples is absolutely essential to the future of the church and may actually be more important than preaching some sermons to crowds of people when you don't have a chance to follow up and really train them. Well, thank you, Dan and Paul, for your willingness to share today. Thank you, Chad, for being our program engineer. And thank you, radio audience, for listening. I hope that you'll join us again next week. And want to let you know that contact information as well as free printed companion materials are available online. Go to the Walla Walla University website. Follow the links to the School of Theology and Good Word. God bless you. For the Good Word, I'm John Dipdall.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.